Well, just one of them things. We used to be down yonder, but we're here now.
I got it. Test, test. This will be an interview with Gordon and Carrie Rouse in their home in North Miami?
No, just Miami.
Just plain Miami, on August 7th, 1985.
When we started playing music.
Yeah, how did you get interested in playing music? Did your family play? Or?
Well, Mama, she played the fiddle and the banjo a little bit. And Papa, he sung quite a bit. And of course, he was a Methodist preacher in the church.
Where was this? Where did your family grow up?
Craven County, North Carolina. And it was the first, he was in the Lane's Chapel Church, about 3 miles from our home, which we lived 10 miles from Kinston, which was in Lenoir County.
Mm-hmm.
And about, we went to school for about 7 miles from our home, which was in Craven County. And from that, we just went. We used to have singing, you know, here and there and yonder in the neighborhood, and we'd sing all night sometimes. We'd wake up to sometime we'd wake up the whole neighborhood out in the country, and they'd let us know about it, and the next few days they heard us singing.
And you had an older...
On the farm, that is.
Uh-huh.
And go ahead and ask me what you was fixing.
You had an older brother named...
Jimmy Rouse. Our oldest brother was named Jimmy Rouse. J.J. Rouse.
Right.
And he was really... He was one of the first ones that left home and began to learn to play kind of professional, you know, here and there and yonder.
And what did he play?
He played fiddle, guitar, and banjo, it didn't matter what it was. He played string instruments.
Now, you said your mother sang? Anybody in your family play, like your mother? Did she play, or you?
Oh, yeah, she played the fiddle, and she wasn't really terrific, but she was good. I mean, everybody enjoyed her anyhow.
Uh-huh.
And so we went from... That's where I started from, was our mother.
Uh-huh.
On her side, because she could play some music, you know, like the banjo and the guitar a little bit and the mm-hmm. fiddle.
And so did she teach you, or did you hear her play and just kind of
We just catch on and try to listen to her and listen to this one and that and the other one, and that's the way we got started.
And you played guitar, and your brother Irvin was another fiddle player, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. In fact, I played the fiddle a little bit myself, but very little. Not like my brother. And also my brother Earl, he was a pretty good fiddler. In fact, he was one that kind of got my brother Irvin to start to try to play professional.
Uh-huh.
My brother Earl was.
Are you older than your brother Irvin?
Huh?
Who's your oldest brother? Was Jimmy?
Yeah, he was Jimmy, of course. Now he taught Irvin very lot when he'd come home. Of course, you know, he went out on his own. You know, he was the oldest one, and just now and then we'd see him. You know.
Who was the next oldest?
Huh?
How many children in the family?
How many were there in the family?
Right.
There were 15 of us children in the family.
Wow.
And, of course, all of us played a little music in our bones, except when we had one brother that couldn't hardly carry a tune.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the next to the oldest brother. His name was Paul. And he could hardly carry a tune if it was in a bucket. And he's about the only one that really didn't have no music in his bones, except that he loved it.
Uh-huh.
He loved to hear it and everything like that, you know.
Who's older, you or Irvin?
I was 2 years older than Irvin.
And when did the two of you get started playing together?
Oh, my God. We was playing together just about as long as I can remember, you know, after we got started. We was playing Irvin. They even took Irvin off of the stage. We went and played the Fox Theater in Washington, D.C., and Irvin was so young until they took him off the stage, and my father just happened to be there, and they gave him permission to go on ahead and play through the week. And he was so young, you know, until he was really supposed to be home in school.
Well, you know? When did you get started playing out then, like in Washington, D.C.? Was that contests that you went to, or...?
No, that was a stage performance.
A stage performance.
Yeah, on the stage.
And how did you get started playing outside the family then? And
well, we got started playing outside the family, playing in the schoolhouses in our area. And we'd go from one schoolhouse to the other, and they got to where they'd even buy tickets and give us money to play, you know, and sing.
Mm-hmm.
So we began to get to where we felt like we were somebody almost, you know, when they started giving us, buying tickets, you know, and putting us in, running them school plays.
And how old would you have been then?
Oh, I think I was about 11 or 12, and Irvin was about between 5 and 6 when we was playing. And between 5 and 6 and 7, I forget now exactly the age, but we was very young. And of course, there was 5 of we brothers that played on the stage too at one time.
I see.
Yeah.
Which 5 were those?
That was Guy, Haywood, Herbert, and Earl, and me and Irvin.
Did you have a name for your group?
Well, we was called a lot of different things, you know. We called the Cornfield Hillbillies, and we used to wear uniforms that was white, and they called us the White Duck Hillbillies, and so on and so forth, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Stuff like that, you know.
And
you know, it just went from one thing to another. And we were called Red Hot Smoking Tar Heels.
That's a good name.
Yeah. And have you.
So your band with your brothers started playing out professionally, all 5 of you, before you and Irvin just started playing, just the 2 of you, is that right?
Well, we was playing professionally before me and Irvin started playing professionally, of 5 of we brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got down to 3, and then it got down to 2, and then me and Irvin kept it going.
And about what time period are we talking about now? Is this like in the...
That's
in the 20s, or...?
Well, it was the late 20s and the early 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you and your brothers were playing like in theaters in various towns all over,
right,
outside
right.
of North Carolina? Like,
that's right.
Did you play at the Grand Ole Opry with your brothers?
Well, not when we were that young. We went through and just went as guests, you know, just every now and then, just going through. We never did stop and play and work at the Grand Ole Opry, really.
Uh-huh.
We just passed through there and just see them and go, because we had to make a living, you know, and they didn't pay nothing at the Grand Ole Opry, you know.
Uh-huh.
That was all for free, you know. You just stay there and you just made a name for yourself if you could afford it. And that's the way it was on the Grand Ole Opry. Grand Ole Opry never paid no, what you call, no big money to no entertainment. Not that I know of.
Were you trying to make your living as musicians, or did you have other occupations?
Well, that's all we done is just play music.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we done was just play music. Sometimes we'd play on the streets, play in warehouses. It didn't matter just where, as long as we'd pick up a little money to live off of it,
right,
and get back and forth and so on and so forth that way.
Were you writing your own songs then, or what? Where
well,
did you
at
get
that
your
time,
songs?
At that time, we was playing any songs that we could hear. Just pick them up and listen to them and learn them and sing them.
Uh-huh.
But later on is when we started writing our own songs, you know.
So when you and Irvin kept playing together after your other brothers sort of dropped out, and then the two of you went on and...
That's right.
And were known as the Rouse Brothers then, and just kept...
Yeah, the Rouse Brothers, that's right.
And about... So about what year was it when you and he started playing together professionally, just the two of you? You got an idea?
Well, I believe that was in the late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
About the the late 30s is when we started playing together. We left our brother Earl in Philadelphia. He finally met a girl there and got married. And that kind of broke up our act, you know. And then our father happened to be along with us, so we just left and come on to ourselves, me and my father and my brother Irvin. And so here we come this way, you know.
So you came down here to Florida?
And then my brother Earl and my brother Irvin left before I did, and they came with a converted Jew preacher. And they got to singing with this converted Jew preacher, which was supposed to send Pop and Mama a check every month. And we got to where we didn't even hear from them, period, of a check or no check. So my daddy was getting threatened, getting the law, and trying to find his children, you know, which was my brother Earl and Irvin.
Yes.
And they was with a converted Jew preacher, and he would go around preaching and saying it was orphanage.
Uh-huh. And where was that? And
that was here in Florida,
here
mostly.
All in Miami or
well,
all
he,
over?
All over Florida here. Yeah, he would have... He would give his testimony, and they would when they'd throw money, they would throw it on this great big old drum. People would come by and put the money on that great big old drum, and he was in a tent show.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And so first thing you know, he found out that my father and mother was trying to find the kids, and he finally sent him home.
I see.
Before he was put in jail. So they never did catch him. But he finally sent them home on the train.
And was that the first time that your brother Irvin was down here in Florida?
Yeah, that's right.
Now the song Orange Blossom Special was written in 1937, or that's when it
well,
was, is that right?
At that time it wasn't wrote when they first came down here with that converted Jew preacher.
Uh-huh.
That was, they sung other songs at that time. But it was later on when I joined them, that me and my brother wrote the Orange Blossom Special.
Well, tell me about writing the song. How did you get the idea for the song?
Well, we just made up an old tune and called it a blues, which was the South Florida blues, and we decided that was the first song we ever wrote.
It was.
The first song we ever wrote was Orange Blossom Special.
It's a good way to start out.
Yeah. Our friend was from Kissimmee, Florida. That's where my brother still went and met these Smith family, during the time that they was playing with this converted Jew preacher.
I see.
And that's how they got to meet the Smith family. And the Smith family turned up, the man, the boy of the family, he wound up being our manager.
I see. What was his first name?
His first name was Lloyd Smith. And when we came down to Miami, that's when we seen the Orange Blossom Special.
The train.
The train. And we seen it christened. And when we went in there to see it, our manager took us in there to see it christened, see? He said, that's a new train coming out.
I see.
So we seen it christened. And you know, after we seen it christened, the woman threw, busted a bottle or something, you know, on it, they call it christened the train, the new train.
Yes.
The Orange Blossom Special. Ever when that was, I ain't for sure what year that was or nothing. But anyway, it was christened at that time. But that was at the Seaboard Station down here, 20th Street on 7th Avenue. And we happened to be fixing to go up north at the time that we, just before we seen it christened.
Uh-huh.
So when we seen it christened, we was in our we was riding in our automobile, and we stopped and got a pencil. We stopped and got a pencil, a brand new tablet, you know, paper to tablet.
Uh-huh.
And we began to make up a song about that train.
I see.
And by the time we got to Kissimmee, Florida, we had it wrote. That's where our manager was from, is Kissimmee, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And he was the instigation of us writing the song because he said it was maybe another 097 someday, you know.
Yeah, he was right.
And sure enough, it became famous and stuff like that. And I bet we made up 1,000 different words trying to make up words to it, you know. And he threw them out the window, you know, as we ride along the road.
Uh-huh.
And back in them old days, really a long time ago, too. And by the time we got to Kissimmee, Florida, we had the Orange Blossom Special route. And we just changed the music from the old tune that we made up. We was calling it the South Florida Blues, but we just stepped it up a little way, you know.
And, uh-huh.
And just made it a ragtime, or ever what you might call it.
Uh-huh.
The Orange Blossom Special style instead of a slow blues style. You know.
So your brother...
We just changed words and put it there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So your brother wrote the words. Were you helping him write the words, or...
Well, me and my brother sat in the front seat, and we was both making up the words and the tune. You know, we had to change the tune, you know.
Uh-huh.
But we'd have to change the tune to make the music rhyme with the music that we had, you know.
So, did you have your instruments with you then when you were...
Oh, yeah, we played our music, except that we weren't playing. We were just riding in the car singing.
Okay.
And our manager was sitting in the back seat writing down what we would sing, you know. And sometimes we decided that wasn't no good, so we'd throw that part away and start on it another way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, by the time we got to Kissimmee, he was our manager, and he wrote it while we was telling him what to write, you know.
Uh-huh.
He didn't help write it, he just was the cause of us writing.
Right, I understand
you
that.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's never been nobody else whatsoever helped us write it. Nobody, except that he was the one that calls us to write it.
Uh-huh. Now, when you say it was a South Florida blues and you just sort of stepped it up into more ragtime, was that...
In hillbilly style, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Was the South Florida blues, you mean it was a style of blues that you heard down here in South Florida?
Well, you know, it kind of was like... You know, it's kind of a blues style, you know. We was trying to make a tune blues style, but we didn't. We decided to just stuff it up, and we just happened to see that training. It interested us so much that we just had to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
While we were riding in the car all along the road.
Right. So the train imitation that the fiddle does, is that something that Irvin sort of developed when he began to perform it later on, or was that there right from the beginning? You know that, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, as we go along, we'd make a little bit, you know, a little bit more fiddling to it and stuff like that. You know, you know, we've done that riding along the highway. You know.
So. I just wondered if you kept sort of working on the tune the more
by,
that you...
By the way, we never had rode the Orange Blossom Special.
You haven't?
Never rode it. We just happened to see it christened, and we left town that morning.
Uh-huh.
And that's when we started riding the Orange Blossom Special.
Well, they should have given you a free ride, I think.
Well, they really should have given us a lot of different free stuff. But,
right.
But, you know... Ignorant people don't get very far, very slow, you know.
So tell me about when you began to perform the song. Now, you performed it at the Grand Ole Opry, did you, or?
Well, we just went down and seen the Grand Ole Opry, more or less the time that we went, and just would listen to the old stars and talk with them and so on and so forth like that.
But how did your song get so popular? You must have played it somewhere.
We finally met Johnny Cash, and Johnny sent us a letter. Sent us a letter to tell us to come up to Nashville.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to see us about putting us on his special show.
The Orange Blossom Special?
Well, yeah, the Orange Blossom Special was the main feature, of course.
How did he already know about the song, though? How did it become famous?
Well, we met Johnny right here in the Orange Bowl the first time. Irvin played with Johnny here in the Orange Bowl
the first time.
And that's where we got to meet Johnny first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met him in different other places, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny wanted invited us to come up there, and I asked Johnny to put us on with him if there was any chance to doing it, you know. And he said, "Well, we'll see what we can do." So we went on broadcasting on the Grand Ole Opry that night with Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And that
about
was,
when was this?
Oh, baby, about when was that?
I really don't remember, but it was in the 60s when Johnny filmed his series of shows.
But the song was written in the 30s, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So
it was written way back then.
Well, I was asking you how the song, you know, first got popular and how people got to know it, you know, right after you wrote it. Did it catch on right away, or did it take some time for it to get people to get to know it?
Well, it took quite a while for people to get to know it, and there were some people trying to take it from us when we used to broadcast it on while we were broadcasting in Danville, Virginia, and somebody tried to take it from us on the air right there.
Uh-huh.
But we just luckily went and had it copyrighted just before somebody took it from us from getting it on the air.
Oh, that was lucky.
That was a lucky break for us right there.
When was
our oldest brother gave us, you know, told us to go and have it, have the music wrote out to it for it and put the words to it and everything, you know, and have it copyrighted. So we decided to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, it's just a no time flat. There was two different companies, recording companies, had called us and asked us, could we let them release that by some Grand Ole Opry stars, you know, that already had a name and everything. So we told them no, we couldn't do that. But if they hadn't, they would have had it on and gone if we hadn't had it copyrighted before that happened.
Right.
You know
so
what I mean?
When was, did you make a record yourself of the Orange Blossom Special and your songs then?
We made a record of ourselves, but the record was threw off, I told you what happened to start
with. Oh, I see. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's the way the ball started to roll.
Uh-huh. So you were a member of the union, you joined the union and you got it copyrighted and everything?
Yeah.
And have you made other records, I mean, since?
Never had made no other records whatsoever. We had done our first records.
So yeah. the recording that's on this record that the Smithsonian made, where did that tape come from? I mean, you must have had some recording, right?
Huh?
The record that you played me from the, you know, this one right here. Where did
that's the one that they recorded.
They recorded you playing this one? When you just played it for me when I was just here, you know, the record.
Yeah.
When you did make a recording of it eventually.
Yeah, in New York City.
New York City.
Yeah, New York City. That's where we made the first recording.
And is have you?
And Bob Miller was a publishing company, and he was the one that talked us in notion of making it.
Uh huh.
That and other songs that he. That Bob had, you know, published himself.
I see.
You know what I mean? So that's the way we started to making records right now.
But you said you haven't made very many records?
Huh?
How many records have you made?
Oh, we made, I think, three or four or five or something. Look. What record was
you
that?
Made Bluebird Records, the Bum Bum Blues, and the Craven County Blues,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, at that time, and more too, but I forgot all the numbers that we did make that day.
Uh huh.
But anyway, Bob Miller was the cause of us making them, and of course we was union and didn't realize, you know, that we had to have union contracts, so
I see.
That was canceled, you know.
I see. Now, you said that you used to come down here to South Florida and play in some of the theaters down here later on.
Yeah.
When did you start doing that?
Oh, we played the Olympia Theater here. We played the Paramount Theater here. And we played the Strand Theater here. And we played one of the ones that was somewhere in the Carl Gables area in the Coconut Grove. We played several theaters around here. We played the Miami Biltmore Hotel back in them days, you know.
What time period are we talking about now?
Huh?
When would this have been? Like, what years are you talking about?
That was early in the late 30s, I believe.
And when you played in these hotels, would you have been?
We didn't at that time. We weren't playing the Orange Blossom Special. At the time, we were playing all these theaters. You know?
Oh, that was before.
We was on the stage before that.
I see.
Yes, ma'am.
So, were you playing like with other performers who were doing sort of country and old time?
Country music, country singing, and what they call. Country acting and so on and so forth.
So they would have special shows at the theaters just for country music?
Yeah, regular stage performances, not but just country music, by every type of music.
I see.
And every type of singing.
So you'd be part of sort of a variety show?
We would be featured in the theaters too. you know, doing our little act.
Uh-huh. About how long would you play at one of these? You just have a short...
Yeah, about 12, anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes and sometimes 20 minutes because they keep calling us back.
Uh-huh.
You know, because do an encore, you know.
Were you doing mostly your own songs then, or would you play others?
At that time, we were doing most anybody's songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then later, did you come back after you wrote the Orange Blossom Special and you'd play that in the theaters here too?
Yeah.
About how many years did you keep playing the theaters down here? Did that last for quite a while?
Well, we played them several times. Down here, played the theater several times, and also the Miami Biltmore Hotel and the Royal Palm Club. You never heard of them before.
Yeah, I have.
Well, I didn't figure you had. Just saying. Anyway, we played very nice hotels here on the beach. You know, we travel on the beach and played in nice hotels over there on the Miami Beach.
Would this be like for evening shows or afternoons, or when would you play?
Well, sometime in the afternoon, cocktail hours and stuff like that, you know, we'd play during the early cocktail hours, around 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, in the daytime sometime. And then later on, we'd get jobs in nightclubs and sing and play on the regular floor shows.
I see.
You know what I mean?
What? Name some of the clubs. Do you remember, like, was the Royal Palm one of them, or?
Well, let me see. We played in the 5 O'Clock Club on the Miami Beach, and we played the Palm Island on some of the nightclubs there, but I found out later that we were playing for somebody that was a racketeer, but we didn't know.
Oh, I see.
And stuff like that, you know. You know, you never know what you're doing until you do it afterwards later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.